He's good. So, welcome to this session, Project Online from almost any device. In fact, I looked in the title that I typed in and it was, what did it quite say? It was Project Online from almost any device, which kind of when you read that is a negative, almost a double negative, so it means you can't use Project Online at all. So I kind of should work out my English, which is a bit worrying given that I am a native speaker of the Queen's language, not like my esteemed American colleagues up the front. So having upset most of the audience, I'm going to talk to Dennis from the Netherlands because he's the only person who's going to speak to me now. So, who is this bloke standing at the front? Well, this is me. So my name is Ben Howard. I work for if you read the bottom line, it says occasional grow of a moustache during Movember. So maybe that's why. A little bearded facial hair here, which is gone. And I had a haircut since then as well, so most of my hair's gone. That's not due to Project Online, it's just due to growing old. But I've been working with Project Server for 12 or so years. I work for a company in the UK called Apple Park, and we pretty much just do project server, project training, and when I'm not doing that, I've been lucky enough to have a book published. So I've got three copies. I thought there'd be a big queue for these, but I can't give them away, so I am giving them away. But you only get one if you ask a relevant question, okay, and there's other conditions attached also. I've also done a couple of video courses for a company called Pluralsight, and I've got some free one-month subscriptions to that site as well. So if you're interested in the end, come and see me for that. So that's enough about him. What's the agenda today? Well, we'll have a look at Office 365. I won't spend too much time on that because most of you are probably bored to death now with introductions to Office 365. But we do need to get everybody onto the same page, and I need to clear up some nomenclature and some licensing queries that people tend to have around Project Online. We'll have a look about some brief thoughts around devices, and I've got a device fest sitting here on this table. And then we will have a look at probably a first for a Microsoft conference, which is a Wintel-free demonstration. So I have no Windows Intel machines up here. This, just in case you're unfamiliar, is a Surface RT device. That means it's running an ARM processor and Windows 8.1. So I cannot go and get Microsoft Project, for example, and install it on here. That just will not play. Okay, so so the first one that came out, again, there were two. There's a Surface RT, which is an ARM processor running Windows RT or Windows 8 RT. I'm not quite sure of the actual naming. But you cannot install Office, pure Office applications on that. And then there's the Surface Pro, which is a Windows 8 tablet with an Intel processor. Jim has one down there if you'd like to come and see that later. And you can install your normal Windows applications on that, including Microsoft Project and all the other apps. Okay. So the only thing you can install on this, really, is anything that's on the Microsoft Store. Okay. Took me a little while to get around it. What else have we got? Well, we've got one of these. It's an iPad. So I've never played with one of these until about 2 weeks ago. It's quite interesting. We have a Google Nexus device, and we've got a few phones as well floating about. We'll put them all on the digitizer, and then you'll be able to see kind of what you can do with Project Online. That's the idea of this. So, quick bit on Office 365. You could probably tell me what Office 365 is rather than the other way around. So I stole this slide, as I steal most of mine, because I'm a project manager. So you never ever create anything from scratch. You always borrow it from someone else, and then give them kudos or give the rights to them. But it's interesting, Office 365, I've been using it for a couple of years for my Exchange and SharePoint, and I've always had my email hosted over the last 12 years. And then 2 years ago, I moved to Office 365 just because the price point made it so ridiculously attractive to do so compared to what I was paying. So here's a question for you all. Who is using Office 365? Okay. Now, put your hands down if you are a Microsoft employee, MVP, or Microsoft partner. Okay, one, two, three, four. Okay, so not too bad. That's not too bad. And the rest of you aren't. Well, you might want to think about it going forward, certainly after this session. So we know Office 365 arrived from or started off, and it was called something that hasn't been mentioned, Business Productivity Online System Solutions or something like that, BPOS. And that was built on Exchange 2007 and SharePoint 2007. So it was around that time frame. And then Office 365 was morphed out and productized around the 2010 product suite time frame. And it really started off, these are the key things I think across the top, Exchange Online, which is Exchange Server in the cloud, SharePoint Online, which is SharePoint Server in the cloud, and then Office Professional, you're seeing that called, I think it's now branded Office Pro Plus or something, so that's for client applications that you can download and install on your Windows or Mac machines, okay, so that's the sort of click-to-run demos that you've seen. And then we've got these things called web apps. And web apps really are web-based applications of your traditional Office apps. So we've got PowerPoint web app, we've got Word web app, Excel web app. Okay, so they're general applications for managing those documents. We also have Outlook web app. So that's a general email client that goes across to Exchange Online. And we've got Project Web App, of course, which is a project application for managing project plans stored in Project Online. We'll get to our Project Online shortly. So those are the web apps. What else do we have here? In the cloud, so we have Project Online. This was a semi-recent introduction by Microsoft, and of course, it's why we're all here. We have Link Online, we have Yammer, and then we have a load of other services which I've either not mentioned or will be coming online. So this is Ben Howard's view of Office 365. So I mentioned that we could run PowerPoint web app, and you've seen lots of people talking about kind of interoperability. So I thought what I'd do is we'd get rid of this, so that can go, and we'll put this on, just to show you the interoperability. So this is the same PowerPoint, and let's go. There we go, this will build. So PowerPoint web app running on the iPad. Why is this important? Well, as you know, I didn't search for a PowerPoint client, okay. There is a client for Apple, or there is an app for the Apple iPad that will allow you to browse and open your PowerPoint presentations. But if you look at the top there, this is coming from a URL, which you can just about see up here, powerpointofficeapps.live.com. So I'm streaming this and showing you this PowerPoint, and the PowerPoint is stored on my SharePoint site. Okay, so I was going to show you this on this little iPhone-y thing here, if I could switch it on. But I did think that would be just too ridiculous. Okay. I can't get my fingers around this. So this is being streamed kind of live as we speak. So, you know, let's hope the demo gods are kind to us in terms of bandwidth. So that's Office 365. Office web apps we've kind of looked at, access and share information from anywhere with anyone on any device. And then, of course, at the bottom, I put that big project web app because that's what we're going to be dealing with later on. Okay. So that's the Office 365 piece discussed and talked about. I want to move away from that now and talk about specifically project and project online and talk about what I call the SKU soup, because as customers, partners, there's a big confusion there about what do I actually need to go and buy and how much is it going to cost me? Okay, so I can deal with what are you going to go and buy, but not how much are you going to cost. And of course, since I wrote these slides, we had that update in the keynote this morning about our $7 license for team members So I haven't included that in here. Okay, so this is as it existed at 8 o'clock this morning. So we have a role, we have an Office 365 service offering, and again, Office 365, one of the differences with there is the subscription licensing. Okay, you buy it on a monthly basis. For the on-premise offering, which I'll talk about, notice I'm probably, again, the first person who's mentioned on-premise in this whole project conference. That's a perpetual license. Effectively, you buy that, you own it forever. So, if you are a team member, a project participant, what I'm going to call a lightweight project manager, which is me today, or a business decision maker, then if you're in the Office 365 world, you can go and buy Project Online. Okay, that gives you the rights to utilize this project server system that's sitting hosted in the cloud for me. Okay, so that's what you end up buying. If you want the equivalent product to deploy on-premise, just so that you kind of remember where you are, I think it's good to compare and contrast this. You would go and buy Project Server 2013, install that in a farm somewhere, and you would buy a Project Server license or a Project Server CAL, okay, what we call a Project Web App CAL, but it's a Project Server CAL. And that gives you the right as a client to go and access that Project Server. Okay. So if you're an IT person and you're used to Project Server, or sorry, if you're used to licenses and CALs, then the bid on the right is what will make more sense. Okay. If, however, you're a project manager, resource manager, and for one instance only a PMO administrator, i.e. you're an advanced scheduler, so you need the rich scheduling capabilities of the desktop client, then in an Office 365 world, you need to buy Project Online with Project Pro for Office 365. Okay, so you buy Project Online, which gives you access to the server, and then you buy Project Pro for Office 365, which gives you click to run download of Microsoft Project. Okay, Microsoft Project Professional 2013, effectively. And that's what we talk about on the on-premise world. That's your client. Microsoft Project Professional 2013. So Project Pro for Office 365 is equivalent to Project Professional 2013. They're effectively the same product. They're just delivered in a different way. One's click to run, and they are paid for in a different model. One is perpetual, one is a subscription model. Make sense? No is a valid answer, right? If you just, I'll just assume yes. What do we, it's absolutely doable. So you can buy Project Professional 2013 in a perpetual license mode. Effectively, you get the XCs from Microsoft, and you can connect that Project Professional 2013 to a Project Online system. Okay. So in that case, you as a project manager would also buy Project Online, and then you would get your Project Professional 2013 and connect that to your Project Online system. And that's what I do regularly. Certainly with different customers who have different implementations of Project Online all around the world, I rack up with my laptop. I have got a laptop. And stick that on and say, right, we'll connect my version of Project Professional 2013 to your Project Online system. So that would work. But good question. And a great question, because I had no idea how I was going to articulate that in these 9 sort of building blocks that we've got on this page. The last line then is, well, what happens if I don't care about being connected to anybody anyway? I'm a standalone project manager I'm an advanced scheduler and I just create MPP plans. Well, your subscription service offering is you just buy Project Pro for Office 365 without the online bit, and your perpetual licenses, you go away and you buy Project Professional or Project Standard 2013. Okay, so there are two SKUs in the perpetual licensing model. Okay, so you still got Project Standard or Project Professional 2013. There's a couple of differences between the two, and we can cover those off if you like. Happy?
Absolutely.
Yes. Top man. Jim, if it wasn't for you, I'd have gone home by now. Okay. So, Project Online capabilities. So this is Project Server hosted up in the cloud. We can access that via a browser, or we can access it via Project Pro for Office 365. Obviously, today we're just going to see the first one because we know Project Pro for Office 365 has to be installed on a Windows Intel machine, and we know we haven't got any of those up here. So, we've got multiple device support, hence the number of devices I've got here, and we've got multiple browser support. So, it's quite a good mix that you end up having. So, I've got three different operating systems and three or four different browsers that I can show you up here, so that's quite interesting. Also, a Project Online, you do get some Exchange integration and Link integration, and again, we've seen a lot of that, but I'll just try and expand on that a little bit for you. Okay, so this was a typical Project Server 2010 deployment. There we go. Start off with some sort of SharePoint farm, and you install Project Server as an application in there, and that sits in your IT infrastructure, and you access that either with one of these mobile laptop-y things or a hard-coded or hardwired desktop. And that's what the world looked like, typically. There are a few exceptions to that. But that was where we were at the last project conference, which was in Phoenix, Arizona. Somewhere else, nice and warm. But it was the summer, wasn't it, I think? Was it September? Well, it's the summer for me. It was still hot. Yep. So that was where we were, and then, I'll tell you what, when was the iPad released? When did Apple bring that out? 5 or 6 years ago. Anyone else? 2010. Do you want to give me a month? June. Ooh, do you know? He's hot. But he's wrong. So, 2010 came along, and Apple introduced the iPad in April 2010, so they're not far off. And I actually think it was probably the only company in the world who could have done this at the time. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm a big Microsoft fan. I'm not here to rah-rah about Apple. I used to have a Windows XP tablet, and of course, Apple had a Newton, and we all had Palm Trios and various other tablets, but none of them worked until this device that you're seeing on the screen came along and kind of changed the world. In many ways, funny old device, all it did was play music, take photos, and connect to email and browse the internet. Nobody really knew what it was going to do, but who's got one? Who's got an Apple? One, two, three, 50, almost 50% of the room. Yeah, so it is quite interesting. And then everything else was enabled by apps. So that's one thing that's kind of changed in the last 4 years, literally 4 years, just amazing. They sold, I read on Wikipedia, right, so it must be true, 170 million devices. Wow, wouldn't you like a dollar for each one of those that have gone out of the door? The next thing that's changed is smartphones, and smartphones are a bit of a funny term, so I'm going to call these app phones, something you can download an application for. Outsold feature phones early last year. 90% of that market is Android and iPhone, so that's about 80% Android, so Samsung Galaxies and all of those, and 10% iPhones, and then a paltry 4% of Windows phones, but 10% in Europe because we like Windows. Right. So that's interesting. That's changed a lot of things as well. Just quick, who's got an iPhone? Okay, quite a lot. Who's got an Android phone? Okay, who's got a Windows phone? Okay. Not quite the same as those, but a small audience, and probably skewed. When we look at smartphone sales, of course, we're also now including a lot of China and some of the other sort of emerging markets. So you know, they would have traditionally gone for the more simple feature phones, but of course now they can afford the Android phones, and they're getting much more rich client experience. And when you look at this, if you are out deploying Project Server to your customers, or you're thinking about Project Online for your organization, or you're thinking about Project Online and you're thinking about bring your own device into the organization, so you're no longer going to give your employees devices, actually you're just going to give them a couple of $1,000 and say, right, it's up to you how you work, but you've got to have access to our systems. I don't care if it's an iPad, I don't care if it's a Google Nexus device, etc. These are the sorts of form factors that are around, so phones tend to be quite small. There's this combination of a phone and a tablet called a phablet. Has anybody got one of those? No? People? Yeah, have you got a phablet, sir? It's a combination of a phone and a tablet. But people tend to walk around going, hello? Hello? It's not quite that big, but you get the point. And then we've got mini tablets and full-size tablets. So that's good. Those are our mobile devices. So this now gives us the world for Project Online. So Project Server 2013 in the cloud. Typical devices for that now, of course, are things like the Surface, the iPad. That's a Google Nexus device right at the bottom there. We've got Windows Phone, an iPhone. And, of course, we're still going to have perhaps the majority of our users connecting up via laptops and their typical Windows devices. So that's where we are for those. What about this Project Online demo? Well, as said, we're going to basically deploy those sorts of devices or do the demo across these devices. So we have to have some roles that we can work with. So we have Yvette, who's our senior manager, senior executive. She looks quite a severe lady. I'm not sure I would like to work for her. We've got Tony, our project manager. And then we've got Frank, of course, who's our casual team member. So we'll run some scenarios with all of these guys. So let's start off with Tony. We're going to do some project creation. And how many of you would say you're familiar with the features and functionality in Project Server? Okay, fair enough. So what you're going to see is actually a pretty vanilla Project Server demo. Okay, I haven't done huge customizations on this. I'm not a visual person, so I haven't changed the look and feel of lots of sites and stuff like that. Really, I just want to give you an overview of what you can do on some of these devices and show you how Project Online supports this. Ultimately, I couldn't have done this in Phoenix at the last Project Conference because Project Server 2010 didn't support these devices in this sort of way. We had some sort of multi-browser support, but nothing like what we have now. So let's go and have a look at our demo. We're going to go for Tony. Tony has one of these devices. Let's just get that going the right way. Let's just get out of here. So we will close that tab. Can we see this okay? And let's go over to the Project Center. So there's no ActiveX, there's a lot of Java, and there's some HTML5. But I think, and I'm not a massively technical person, I think the HTML5 comes into the PowerPoint view reports. So if you have Excel services and Excel 2013, or Excel 2013, you can create a PowerView report, put that onto the web, and that comes HTML5. We'll have a look at one of those at the end of the demo. But ActiveX is gone completely from this. So Java and HTML5. Okay, so this is my project site. It's on a hosted as Project Online. It's part of my Office 365 implementation. It's stored somewhere in the cloud, but I couldn't tell you where. And more importantly, I don't really care where. So we're logged in as Tony. We can see that up here. Just here it says Tony. and we've got all of our great integration into Tony's Outlook and everything else. And again, on this PC, it's not a PC, it's a Windows 8 RT device, I haven't bothered installing the version of Outlook that I can install on here. For this demo, I'm just using everything through the web. So Office 365 has this integration, and we can see up here that the colors come in a bit strange, but that actually is green, which tells me that Tony is online on his link as well. So let's just go back to the Project Center. So there we go. Here's my home page. Tony's going to go and create a new project, so we'll do that in a fairly simple way. The minimum customization, or the minimal customization I've done, is really I've put a logo up there. I've changed a little bit of the way these are grouped and formatted, but we'll talk about that later. And when we go and create a new project, then I've got some different, what we call enterprise project types. So in this organization, we do a couple of things. One is we do big capital projects, which I'm going to run a portfolio on, and then we are also a cosmetics company. So we do creams and solutions and gels and those sorts of things. Excuse me. So again, difficult to see, but I'm going to go and create a new capital project up here. And that's going to load for me a new web page. And we will create that project and fill in the relevant details on the page. So here we go. So let's give this a name. I'll call this ProjConf 2014, and then I'll call it Anaheim. Okay, and then we could go and fill in some other descriptions, such as the start date. So if I'm doing a portfolio, maybe we'll start that around the. Let's just see if we can move on to March. Around the 3rd of March, so that's all well and good. I'll leave the owner as Tony. I'll leave the customer details blank, but we will put in a budget, and we'll put in a budget of, £120,000, of course, which will work that out. And a project status, in this case, of, as this refreshes, awaiting portfolio analysis. So that's how I split up some of my projects by project status. So we can click save on here. So that's going to, again, take this data from the browser, put it up into the server, and you'll see at the top here, it tells me that it's processing, it's going to create me a new project, and then it's going to ask me to rank that project against different strategic initiatives in the organization. Any questions whilst this is carrying on? So this is Project Online, which, if we are all quiet, we can say it's Project Server in the cloud. But it's called Project Online. Okay. Subscription based. Yes, my friend. I'll show you my Android device, which is running Google Chrome. I'll show you that shortly.
BlackBerry OS?
Don't know about BlackBerry OS. There you go. Jim says no. So, no to BlackBerry OS. Do they still make phones, BlackBerry? Okay. You don't work for them, do you? I know they had a big issue. Okay. So, these are my strategic drivers in the organization, cost reduction, global integration, grow the business. So I'm just going to rank this project against each of these strategic drivers, and I'm not going to think too much about these, as you can see. But once I've done that, then I can save and then close the project, check it in, and then it's ready for the portfolio analysis, which Yvette, my senior executive is going to do. So if you're interested in this sort of demand management, portfolio management side of Project Server, this is very well documented. So that's saved, I can close it, I can check it in. And Tony's effectively now, as his role, completed putting all of the projects on the system so that Yvette can go and run a portfolio management system or portfolio management analysis on those projects. We won't see that project in here because in the project center, actually, we're just looking at projects that are awaiting resourcing and scheduling or that are in flight, i.e. running, or that have been delivered. Okay, so again, in the project center, we can change the views just in the same way you have been able to do since Project Server 2002 onwards. Yes, sir. It's a good question. Can we import an MPP into here? Yes. Yes. I'm going to have a caveat on that. You do need some form of project client, so you're going to need to have your Wintel device. But Project Pro for Office 365 or Project Professional 2013 will allow both of those import and export scenarios from Excel. No, you can backwards compatible save it down to 2003. Or, of course, you can export it as... That's correct. So you can only connect Project Pro for Office 365 to Project Online, i.e. a Project 2013 client, but you can still connect that and then save as a 2003 version of Project, or a text file, or an XML file, or an XLS file. Okay, so you've got lots of options for that. And it's not the piece of this talk, but when I go to customers and we do projects online, and they say, I've got all these Excel files with this data in, or I've got these project files with this data in, how do we get it in there? Well, we load it into Project, and then we save it up onto the web. Okay, so Tony's done. Tony's happy. I'm not going to show you sending him... I won't show you sending him an email over to Yvette. Here's Yvette. So remember, Yvette is our senior exec. Yvette walks around with her iPad, because that's what senior execs do. And with her power dressing pencil skirt and everything else. Get the picture. And she opens this up, and she'll probably get a message from Tony that says, hey, Tony, I've loaded up the portfolio. So Yvette comes on her iPad and starts to do the portfolio analysis side of the Project Server work. So I won't go through the driver library or the driver prioritization. We'll actually click through the portfolio analysis. So I'll create a new portfolio analysis for you. And I'll give that a name. Anaheim. Should have called it Mickey Mouse or something, shouldn't I, really? That would have gone well with the demo. Give it an Anaheim, give it a name. Choose my prioritization. Again, I've got access to everything that I would typically have an on-premise deployment, or everything I would have if I was running a Wintel device. Okay, it's just the same. It's just actually inputting data is a little more complex because I've got a touch-enabled screen, and you know this hasn't been the application. In truth, hasn't been written to be touch-enabled, and so you end up getting the keyboard up, etc., etc. So I'm going to go and look for those projects. So here they are. And this third one from the bottom, Project Conf 24 Anaheim, that was the one we put in. So I'm going to add all of those in. We'll click OK. So I've selected the projects and I've got 9 projects selected for my portfolio analysis. I'm going to look at project budget. That was my £120,000 for my budget for this project. That's going to be my primary cost constraint, and each project has a budget associated with it like that. And then I can click on next, and I'll go and analyze the projects or review the priority. So this is really just a page that allows me to review against each project. There we go. How we ranked that project, so here's the project name, against each of my drivers, cost reduction, global integration, growth of the business, and whether we ranked that high, medium, low, was extremely important or not important. Okay, so this is just a review, and it allows me to change things as I want. Having done the analysis, then we can go and review the priorities, and it gives us the top project, effectively, which project is going to align to our priorities most strongly. And bizarrely, it was a project comp for 2014 Anaheim. So that comes out at 17%. So that's that gives us 17% of the value. Down to our new artwork development lab gives us about 6%. So we can do this, and it's all very good. But, of course, the demonstrable piece is to go and analyze the cost and have a look at our efficient frontier and bring projects in and out. So, again, if we think about it, this is pretty neat. This Microsoft bought this portfolio analysis services product back in 2000-odd time, and you used to have a server here to run it, and it would be a separate process. And, of course, now it's just all up in the cloud, and you can do it from your iPad on a wireless device wherever you are. Yeah, so that, if you just think about the way the world's changed, that's pretty neat. So let's just maximize this. So get rid of that. So we can see now, and again, this is the same sort of thing that you saw in the keynote today. So we could add projects in, take projects out, and do all of that fancy thing. So that works pretty well. In fact, works very well from my iPad. So we can do that. We can come in and we can modify this budget. And you were all in the keynote, so I'm not going to show any of that. I was going to show it, but we'll move on. Everybody okay with that? Happy? Yeah. Isn't he smart? What goes wrong? What I find frustrating, let's just say I had to force one of these in and out. And what you typically do is you click on here. That little bit that says auto. And then you get this up, so then you get rid of that. And then you need to click on that little button there. Now look at my finger, big fat fingers. That's why I didn't do this on an iPhone. So let's just go for it. Well, yeah, well, I got it. Keyboard comes up. We'll force that in. Great. And then we'll get rid of that, and then we'll go and recalculate. So let's have a bit of a straw poll. Who had an iPad? I know one gentleman, I've lost about half the audience, so there's only 3 of you in the first place. Do you have a keyboard with it? Do you have a keyboard with yours? Who's got a tablet that's got a keyboard with it? Yeah. I did a straw poll of my friends who use iPads and I don't. They all had keyboards. So I think that's the thing. If you're going to use a lot of devices like this, you've got to think, am I consuming data mainly or am I inputting it? Or do I do a little bit of both? You know, keyboards aren't expensive for iPads, but or for Windows devices, but you do want to start thinking, you know, what's the right form factor and what am I going to do on this? Okay. So what we have to remember is that this is vanilla product, and some of the other things I'll show you later are the apps for these that have been written then specifically for people with big thumbs and big fingers to get away from that. But you can do it. So we'll close that. But it all works, it's just sometimes a little more complex. Other things that you can do, certainly on this device, I installed Link, so we could go and find Tony. If I just put Tony online here, then we could just have this discussion here. We'll look at my iPad contacts, we'll come and find Tony, and Tony's been away. He's not quite got back online here. He's just signing into IM. We can see it coming in here. Once he goes green, which he just about has done, he'll go green over here. And of course, we can then initiate a hi Tony discussion. And then that will pop up here. In fact, here it is from Yvette, so I can accept that and I can start to have that sort of IM discussion with Yvette. So there's a lot of these apps that are there for free. So again, if you're thinking about, I've got Link server or I'm going to go to Office 365, but I've only got iPads, go and download an iPad for free Link client like this one. So that's good. So Yvette does her work and she's off. So we can put Yvette back over here. Tony comes back online and there we go. He can go back to his project site. Oh, I won't navigate away from there. Yes, I will. Projects. Yep. So the question is there a locking device or mechanism around portfolio analysis specifically? So for portfolio analysis, only one person can analyze a single portfolio at a time, but you can have multiple portfolios. So that would be, does that answer the question? Mm-hmm. Actually, no. For the PMs, I don't give them access to this bit, so they can't even see it. So this strategy disappears for the PMs. So they don't have the option. But I don't train them in it. They don't know it's there. All they know is their job as a PM is to run projects, and my job as a portfolio manager is to do some strategic analysis. So that conflict never occurs because I don't give the PMs access to that strategy section and the details under there. Okay, so let's go back to Tony. We've done our portfolio analysis. We would commit that. We've worked out what to do. We would run some workflow for that. And ultimately, depending upon how sexy we wanted our project server to be, those projects would come up in this section here, which says awaiting resourcing and scheduling. So I've already got one in here. It's a new product for me called Shaving Balm. Shave this morning, especially for this presentation. Smooth. Okay, so we've got shaving balm there. We'll open that up. And we'll go and resource that and put some information on there. And then we'll publish that plan and we'll have a look at what that looks like. Okay, so a couple of things to note. The timeline comes through, of course, from the template. So that all works quite well. And the first thing we're going to do on here is click on the project button at the top, and I'm going to build a team. So I'm going to add my resource called Frank to this project plan. Okay, and if you remember, Frank has a couple of devices. He's got one of these, Windows device, and he's got my Android Google Nexus device. Do you have these in the US?
Yes.
I thought we're in the UK, we're ahead of the curve, but apparently not. You made them. Okay, so I'm going to select Frank there. Again, keyboard comes up. Is that distracting or annoying? You can turn that off as you like. I'm going to select Frank from my list of resources on the left-hand side, and I'm just going to add him into this list here, which is the list of resources on the team, and Frank comes in here. So I can click the Save and Close button. So I've just added him to the team. I could have a look at what resource allocation he has, what other projects he's on. I can do lots of things here, but for the sake of time, I've not done. So we put him on the team, and once we've put him onto the team, then we can start to assign him here to certain tasks. So Frank's going to be my product manager, so if I come in here, let's just try this again. I haven't hit this button called edit. So let's go and edit it. So I have to open it and edit it before I can make those changes, of course. So that's opening and editing. This edit button will gray out once that is in an edit mode for me, because once I've edited it, I can't kind of open it and edit it again. And now I can come in and do my resource management. So I'll take my product manager, drop that list down, I'll get rid of him, and I'll put Frank in, and I'll do the same. Let's just close that. I'll do the same here. And we'll do the same here. That's good. And again, if you haven't really seen a big demo of Project Online, then this is Project Web App. Effectively, this is the browser application for modifying projects. Let's go and insert a new task. So I can come up to the task tab here. I can click insert, and I can type in here. And again, I'll just call this Project Conf task. Enter, and I can put Frank against that. Yeah, I should turn that keyboard off. We can do a couple of things in here as well. So with highlighting, whoa, just stay there. It's too much. Okay. So this becomes annoying, but I can normally do it. There we go. Highlighted both of those. No, I wanted both of those. I wanted tasks 7 and 8. Whoa, okay, I've got 3. So this is where you might want a keyboard or something else. I'm going to link those tasks together because we can do that by clicking on the little link button there. So that will link those up and change. Then you can see everything that's highlighted in green here. That's my background cell highlighting that's changed. And I can also go and set the baseline for that. So in true project management terms, I would set a baseline for that project. So once I've resourced this up, I can just publish that. And I also need to change the status of it. So remember, it was waiting for resourcing. We could put a workflow against this and say once it's fully resourced or once we've done X, Y, or Z, then we can change the status of it. But again, I'm going to do this manually. So wait for that to come back. My buttons appear at the top. I'll go back into my project. We'll click on the previous page. And come down and now say that the status of this project is in progress. No. You have to, out of the box, you have to manually do it. But of course, I could write a workflow or an event handler on that. Okay. And the cloud is working, spinning around. There we go. So I'm just going to say that's manually in progress. Sometimes customers, of course, and I don't include anybody in this room who would do this, but of course, they'll do work on a project before it's in progress. Yeah, because sometimes you kind of just need to. It depends upon your process. So I'll close that out. Cloud's working on that. We'll save and check that in. And that's Tony done. Tony's done his resource management and project management job. And so we can take this away. Put that over here. Have a look at Frank. So here's Frank. So this is a Google Nexus Android. type device. Actually, it's my sat-nav. That's what I use this for, and it's my e-reader. Okay, and lo and behold, a week ago, it became one of my demo machines. So I'm logged in as Frank. We can see Frank up here. So what can Frank do? Well, Frank, of course, can go to... I'm not sure if I've got it linked up, actually. We've got Frank's homepage. We've got top 10 walks in Sky. I'm not going to log into 365. Okay. Frank should be able to go to the project site, of course. Let's just pick that up. This device is quite interesting because this one kind of, because it's a small device, it then balloons up and magnifies into where you've just touched. So I've just touched on those sites there. I can click on projects, and that will take me to, if that's refreshing, let's try that again. Yeah, that's going to take me through to Project Center. So this is what Project Center looks like on a much smaller device. But basically, it's the same sort of functionality. And if I was Frank, I could click on Tasks here, which we'll do. And he could see his typical tasks view. Now, most of us have been used to seeing this on a screen this big since 2003 or before. And this isn't kind of the best screen for looking at this. It's too small. I can't really do anything with this with my fingers, but I did want to show you it was there. So what we'll do instead for Frank is we'll go back. And one of the features that we have with Office 365 and SharePoint, and in truth with Project Server 2013 and SharePoint 2013, is the ability to synchronize Frank's tasks up into kind of his home site. So he gets an amalgamation of his personal tasks and his project tasks and some of the other SharePoint, and they all come to him. So we can see that. This is Frank's site here, and down here we've got tasks. If we click on that, then we start to work on that, and we start to see a list of Frank's tasks. So we can see we've got some personal tasks up here. We've got some tasks on 250ml hair gel. And if we scroll up, oh, a little button's come up here. You've got four new tasks. But if we go down, then here's my shaving balm tasks. Okay, so that's now come into SharePoint. Now, this is much easier because I can say, well, that task there is done. That's it. Don't need to do anything else. I've got a little whirly thing on the right-hand side, and it disappears. Woo! Now, depending on how I've got SharePoint Project Server set up, that task will be auto-approved, the project will be published, and that task has been updated on my project plan and is available in the Project Center. Okay, so that's a really neat thing. What else happens in here, which can be quite useful, is we do have a Tasks button up here. And if we click on that Tasks button, then we get this ribbon up. And one of these buttons in the ribbon is Sync to Outlook. So what this then allows me to do, or what this does for me, is it takes these tasks and it synchronizes them to Outlook tasks. Okay, so this was last synchronized at 5:42. I think we're going to miss this, unfortunately. So when you look at when this sync happens, it happens on Microsoft, say, every 20 minutes or so, depending upon load. I've been monitoring this for the last 3 or 4 days. As you can imagine, for me, it happens every 45 to 50 minutes. So if this last happened at 5:42, then it will next happen at probably after we've left here. Yeah. Alas. So that's not going to happen, but I can show you kind of what would have happened, because we've demoed this before. So that's Frank. He could do that. And then Frank could come to his hokey-cokey machine. So let's just say he's got a mobile device on here. Always remember to move the device away before you put your password in. This is my mobile phone. I can't remember my password. There we go. It's my actual mobile phone. You can't see this too well. Let's just come in there. Yeah. So Windows 7.5 device. It's about 2 years old. So up there, you can see my calendar, come to a Microsoft Project Conference. Of course, because it's Windows, I can have lots of email accounts. I've got one here, I've got one here, I've got a couple down at the bottom, and here I've got Frank. Okay. So With Windows Mobile, of course, what you can do is you can synchronize your tasks and they go into the calendar. So we'll ignore that. These items in the task list here, develop financials, define marketing opportunities, those are tasks which have come through from Project Server from Frank. Okay, and they've been synchronized up by that Outlook sync that I showed you. So I could, of course, come into here, develop financials, and say that that's complete, done. That will synchronize back up into SharePoint Online over the magic of Wi-Fi and data, etc. So that's good, and I like that. What about this? Now, this one isn't my phone, so I will show you a password. So that is obviously the ubiquitous iPhone. Yeah, Ludo's iPhone. That's who I borrowed it off. Do these synchronize Outlook tasks, yes or no? So we've got a yes at the back there. You're going to go for yes. 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 Anyone for no? Well, the no's have it. Okay, out of the box, they do not synchronize Outlook tasks, and I can kind of prove that. So what do you do? Well, what you want to do is you want to get yourself an app. Okay, if you want any more granularity, or you need to synchronize up Outlook tasks on your iPhone, then you need some sort of app or third-party integration. Luckily, we have one. It's this one here, and this is by a company called Sensi. They're downstairs. I've got one on a bigger phone, just to show you that it is cross-project. So this is Sensi Taskmaster, and this will go and... Let's just refresh this. I'm not sure how often this refreshes. But plainly, on a device like this, you don't want to be, you know, if you need to type in lots of information, then you want an application that's going to do that nicely for you. This isn't the fastest processor, but this has worked. So let's just go and see if we can filter. This is a Windows 8 phone, yep. Oh, there's new tasks coming in. Yeah. No, it's slow. It's a very bad phone. Yeah, but it all depends upon the processor inside. But that's not the only thing, of course. It depends upon your network link. So it depends on either whether you're on Wi-Fi or whether you're on a data connection, ultimately. And one of the things we've got to be concerned about is how much data we're actually pulling down. So an app like this, you know, if we pull down thousands of bits of data, it's going to take us a long time. But if we pull down less data, it's going to obviously be faster. So, you know, it's not... No. Well, two similar devices, one will be faster than the other, given everything else is consistent. But, you know, if we think about this, where might we use this? Well, Frank might be a field engineer. Mending photocopiers or installing water coolers, and all he needs is a quick yes or no. I've done that. Now, I went out to put Project Server in for a customer once who'd been promised that they could synchronize up to their iPhones because that's what all their field engineers had. I hadn't sold the system, but I did have the good, fun job of telling the customer that actually what he'd bought would not work. So it was okay. So I'm going to filter in this. Here's my, what did we do? We did shaving balm, didn't we? So here's my shaving balm, so we can come into one of these, we can edit this task, and we can complete or update these fields on the task details in a much nicer and much richer way when it comes up than I can just with my native tasks in Outlook. Okay, come on. It's still just going across slowly, the screen there. This is quite slow, actually. So... okay, let's just see if that's going to come back. I'm going to park that for a moment. Demo gods aren't with me on that one. So Frank updates things. He could be a field engineer. So this is, you know, this is a great application for field engineers. But again, this is an app, so you need to go away and think of the app. Whilst I'm talking about apps, there was another one that literally I just installed. And when I say literally, I've not even configured it yet. So... over here, oh, there is a PS task manager. So having said I haven't managed even to connect this up to Project Server yet, but all projects online, because this has an online or on-prem version. So again, this is a moment free solution for 14 days that allows you to test task integration. And it's a Windows 8 app, so of course you could install that on your Windows 8 phone. Say again? This is eInnovate, I think. Okay, so I thought I'd mention that one. So the last thing I want to show you is I want to show you this iPad again. I'm back in my role as a vet. We've got people updating tasks in various ways with various methods across various devices. And I need a report on them. So I'm going to log in here on my iPad with a Project Server app. And this is quite a neat one. This is going against, again, live data. So first thing we can do is we can go and select the project that we want to see. Down here, we should have all of, there's our Project Conf Anaheim at the bottom. So you can see that this stuff is really live. I am going to look at my anti-wrinkle cream because I turned 48 last month, the end of January, and I didn't get any anti-wrinkle cream. I need some. Yeah? Could you get some? Yeah. Okay, so project overview. Again, I'm not going to spend a huge amount of time on here, but we've got this just sort of wraps around as a live tile, so we have a finish date. We can click on here. We can drill in, see percent work complete, the active issues, active risks, etc. We'll go back. I can have a look at my issues, and we can begin to drill into those. And if we look at an issue such as supply delivery, it takes me from there back into the project site where that issue is hosted. So again, integration directly back into Office 365, and that's the issue that I put onto the project site. So we'll come back into here. We'll come back out of the issues. I've got some risks, an overview of risks, similar sort of thing. We've got some tasks over here. So let's have a look at the task overview. Okay, he says, I want that to, okay, let's go back up to here, see if we can get the, there we go. Okay, so my fat fingers again. So we have kind of a board now, an overview of slipping tasks, tasks with missed deadlines, of which I've got four, tasks that are due soon. Again, a nice little pie chart, so we could go in and have a look at that and say, okay, that concept brief, let's have a look at that task, drill into project online, and see that task within the project details page. So this is the same page that really we had up before. Back into here. Oh, log in. I wonder why that went to there.
So you're logging in to Project Tree, so Project Online for this. Could this be configured to log in to a firewall if you're hosting a solution?
So long as it's open, yeah, it looks for a URL. So that's it. Yep. And this is just a list of documents, and again, these are stored on the web, and we can open these up. They're just stored in our project site. Frank's timed out on his time stuff. Let me get back in. Frank needs to do a hard reset. I'm not sure why. Okay, so Frank's not so good, but we could go and have a look at this risk and issue PDF, and again, just open that up. You know, so what are we looking at here? Actually, we're looking at a PDF. I'm not looking at the Sensei stuff anymore. I'm looking at a PDF opened in a browser on an iPad. So that's quite easy, and these are risks and issues. That's just a GIF in this iPad. So we'll come back into here. That's all I wanted to talk about that solution, but again, a specific solution for Project Online. I did say I would show you quickly the reports. So if we come back into Project up here, we're okay on time. Yeah. There's Frank. I'll come back to Frank shortly. In the reports, I've not customized these at all. But again, we have the same sorts of reports that we've had since 2010, but now we have this OData feed. Typically in a project implementation, you would clean this one up. And if we have a look at my project overview dashboard, then that opens up in Excel web app, rendered in a browser, in this case Safari, and that goes out, gets the data from Project Online and displays it and allows me to, slice and dice that in the app. And this is where HTML5 comes in and allows me to do all this sort of sexy squeezing and pinching. So that's part of that technology. Of course, we could come through and decide which project we wanted to drill into and just get the highlighted data for that project. Okay, so that's Yvette done. Here's Frank. So I've opened up one of these tasks for Frank. So before in my tasks, I literally said that was done, or in the SharePoint list, I said it was done. Here we can come in and we can edit that. Is that what we tried to do before and it went belly up? Should have just left it where it was. Let's see if second time lucky it works. I'm going to put in actual remaining, change the start time, send update, and away it goes. So that was the idea. Effectively, it's a time card. And actually, on here, let's just get back to that. Okay. Oh. There is also, there is the ability to do a timesheet in here as well. So if you're using timesheets in Project Online, then we can pick this up and select the timesheet button here and start to see that timesheet data coming in. Anyway, let's get back to the PowerPoint. Any questions so far? It's available it's a question for those guys downstairs. It's available currently on Windows Store and the Apple Store, but I don't know about the Google Play Store. Frank's come back. Here's his timesheet. Okay. No, that is Excel Services. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's neat. Let's just have a quick look at PowerPoint Web App whilst we're in here. And we'll finish this one off and get you guys off to wherever you need to go to tonight. Okay, so we've done all of these demos. That was good. Let's go here. You know, I do miss my shortcuts. Control F5 starts a PowerPoint presentation at the slide you're on. And let's get that back up and running. As that should. Okay. Whilst that's thinking about it.
Broken it.
Well, I think we did well to get through this far. Whilst that's thinking about that, that one's died. Maybe the network's gone. Okay. The only other slide I had was a further information slide. And so the further information slide is really easy. I'm going to leave this one up. There was an information slide to go to the Sensei stuff. And there was an information slide just on microsoft.com/project-online, basically. So that was it. And the final one was, thank you. Please go and fill in your online evaluations and mark me really high or really low, depending upon how you felt it went. But how did you feel it went? Very useful. Some people walked out, but that's okay. But I prefer the very goods. Yeah. Anybody got any? Yeah, that's a valid point, and I guess it depends whether you define the device that you give to, say, your field engineers, and then how you expect them to update the time. So if you just expect them to click a button and say, yes, I'm done, then kind of any phone will work except an Apple. Okay, but you might want something a little more sophisticated where they could put in some comments or something like that, in which case you go and write yourself an app, or you go and buy an app that works for you that is supported across the three major app stores. And then it shouldn't. The experience should be similar across every device you have. Yeah. Yes, my friend? No. It all was good. And I specifically use Google Chrome a lot on my laptop. And I find that's quite a nice environment for Office 365. There's some things that it doesn't do, though. You can drag in a load of tasks from, say, an Excel file that's got dates in it, and it doesn't convert the dates, whereas Internet Explorer will do that. So Internet Explorer has some more advantages that Chrome doesn't. So I think you kind of work out which one works for you better. Plainly, IE is going to have more integration because Microsoft are going to make it so. But, you know, all the devices I've had have worked, you know, well, given that there's a form factor restriction. That comes, that's your thing. You know, this is too small for me. Can't work on one of these. It's open. The choice is yours. So really, you know, one of my slides, which I cut out, was all about bring your own devices. And one of the guys I was talking to here, who's a project partner, said, you know, I'm going to stop giving devices to people. I'm just going to give them a couple of $1,000 instead each year, and they can have whatever they want. Yeah, if it saves some money, yeah. You put good security. And I said to this guy, this was in the pub last night, what about viruses? And he says, well, I don't really care about them because everything's hosted on SkyDrive. And Microsoft sort that out now. So, you know, I think bring your own devices is great, but you've really got to secure your servers. Now, if Microsoft have the servers, then you kind of have some security around there. But if you have your own servers, then you've got to put great antivirus on your servers. But I think if there's money to be saved, if it takes money, you know, and adds it to the bottom line, then I think absolutely, people will do it. That's right. How do these get into an organ? These are great. You know, there's no security on one of these. The reason I bought this Google Android was because I can put a pin on here and I can have a different system for me, my wife, my kids. So my kids have a different desktop to me and they don't mess it up. Can't do it on that. Okay. And that's you know, you download emails to that and this gets lost and you open it up and people read your emails, then they sync it. Which is why obviously, you know, you can wipe these things remotely via Exchange, etc. But That's a big issue. But yeah, these are coming in, not because IT said so, but because the execs had bought them. So I think you're right, people are doing it anyway. Yes, my friend. Yeah. My whole timesheets work okay. Yeah. It's all the experience that you've seen today is across the whole of a functionality, not just a project online, but of 365. There's only, you know, the only one thing on an online project online system that you need project professional for is if you want to change the enterprise calendars. Let's just say you don't work an eight-hour day. So I've got a customer who works 7.4 hours a day, which means it's 7 hours, 24 minutes. So I needed Project Pro to change the calendar to work 7 hours, 24 minutes a day. But that's the only thing. Everything else can be done via the browser. Yeah. Yes, my friend. Yeah. Okay. But there are third-party apps, or are there? There are third-party apps, yeah. And I think they would have been great to demo, wouldn't they? If only I'd have thought of that one, but yeah. Cool.
Thank you.
Brilliant.